Welcome to the Home Health Revealed podcast, brought to you by HealthRev Partners. Join your hosts, Michael Greenlee and me, Hannah Vale, as we dive into the world of home health, hospice, and palliative care services. Each episode features real stories and insights from industry leaders covering everything from innovative technologies and payer negotiations to quality improvement and clinician safety. Whether you're a seasoned professional or new to the field, our podcast offers valuable knowledge to help you provide the best care for your patients. Tune in and be part of the conversation on Home Health Revealed.
Welcome to the Home Health Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Mike Greenlee. And like always, Hannah Vale's right next to me. What's going on, Hannah?
Hey, how are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
I am doing well.
So, in today's world, kids don't go outside and play anymore. You know that, right? They just don't
do
they? They're on the phone. All the kids, their necks is like hunched over, right? Looking at their phones. So I was thinking about when I was a kid, which was years ago, the toys. Remember toys?
Yeah.
Remember those? And remember cartoons?
Mm-hmm. They were good.
Give me your favorite toy when you were growing up. And what was your favorite cartoon?
Well, I was probably like a Barbie kid. And then cartoon would have definitely been Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, all the things that we watched on Saturday mornings. How about you?
Toy wise?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, probably Atari. Remember Atari? One joystick, one button, simple. Now today, these kids have, I don't know, they got like 6 buttons on top, 4 buttons underneath, 2 buttons on the side. And they don't even play with toys, so they don't even have toys. But I destroyed Atari. Remember Space Invaders? I just had to move side to side and hit the fire button. That's all I had to do. Games were simpler.
What was the one
these
with
days?
The little like dial that was like the television, the Technovision? You know what I'm talking about? I had one of those. I played Burger Time on that.
I didn't know that. So yeah. I guess, Jamie, before we do the introduction and let this crowd know of the quality and talent that you have, what was your favorite toy? What was your favorite cartoon?
Okay. So favorite toy, if I were to really like make sure you all understand what age group I fall under, it was probably 2. One, a bike. I loved my bike or rollerblades, anything with wheels where I could go fast up and down the hills.
Did you have pegs on your bike?
Sure did.
Yeah, you got
absolutely.
Pegs.
Yeah. Successful.
All right, favorite cartoon.
Favorite cartoon. Gosh, Ren and Stimpy. Do you remember Ren and Stimpy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Just like stupid funny. Oh my gosh. I tried to get my kids to watch it, thinking that they would, you know, because they're kind of age, like in that age, lasted 5 seconds. I'm like, this is hysterical.
I watched He-Man.
Okay. Yeah.
That was He-Man and G.I. Joe. I love those. Yeah. His cat and his cat would come Battle Cat. Remember that?
Never watched it.
Oh, man. You're missing out. You should Google it. You should Google He-Man. My. It was, we'll just move on. But we have a great topic today, Hannah. Tell us what we're doing.
Yeah. Our guest today is Jamie Kelker, RN, BSN, MBA, and Jamie brings with her over a decade of dedicated healthcare experience to her role as Senior Clinical Technology Advocate at Invoke. Since becoming a registered nurse in 2007, Jamie has excelled in various capacities, including direct patient care, leadership roles, and as a pioneering developer of telemedicine products and workflows. Her career has been enriched by contributions to renowned healthcare organizations like BJC, Mercy, SSM, and AYA Healthcare. Jamie's dual expertise in nursing and business administration uniquely positions her to drive innovation and efficiency in healthcare technology, improving patient outcomes and operational excellence. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, for those that don't know who Invoke is, it is a leader in speech recognition and workflow automation solutions. And Jamie, how long have you been with Invoke?
I just celebrated my 1 year, so I'm not too new, but got my feet settled into the dirt with Invoke.
Yeah, I love the guys over there and gals over at Invoke.
And Jamie's going to be discussing with us the appropriate utilization of AI in home health and hospice and how to do that without causing staff concerns. Because we know a hurdle in adopting technology is some of that fear that comes from change. A big idea today we want to talk about is it worth it? Is navigating the change of technology and specifically AI technology worth it.
Okay, Jamie, so a couple questions here. So in your opinion, what are the most promising areas where AI could enhance patient care and operational efficiency, especially in home health and hospice settings, mm-hmm. without replacing human caregivers?
I fully understand that a lot of individuals are fearful of losing that human touch because human touch is powerful. It's a powerful tool. Those relationships are cherished, not only from the patient perspective, but also from the clinician experience. That's why we do what we do. We enjoy engaging with those individuals. Bringing technology into the home, into healthcare workflow, it could be a little scary, assuming that that's going to take away some of that special interaction. However, I think, especially with Invoke as a documentation tool, what I envision is that the goal would be to get your clinicians, to get all clinicians as hands-off in the documentation as possible, so they could be as hands-on with the patients as possible. And I remember early on in my nursing career, and I've told this story to others, so if anybody's hearing this on repeat, I apologize, but you know, when I first started nursing, all I thought was, gosh, I wish I could tap my glasses or tap an earpiece and have it just capture my entire patient encounter so I don't have to do all this documentation. And it's not that I think that EMRs are intentionally trying to be cumbersome. That's not the case. It's a requirement. But now is the time in our healthcare culture with the existing challenges that we have that we do need to pivot as a whole, as a healthcare industry, because the patients are sicker. Regulatory requirements are more and more challenging for home health and hospice. The jurisdictions are changing and those challenges come into play. So optimizing that efficiency just with the documentation alone to allow that patient encounter to be more enriched, I think is really going to be the major win for AI.
Yeah, you know, I can't mm-hmm. spell worth a darn. Mm-hmm. And so I would embrace it just from the spelling aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But you do bring up a good point. You know, technology is critically important. And as, you know, everyone's been talking about AI, and there's so many different AI softwares out there today. It's almost flooding the market so much. It's like, oh my gosh, what AI works or which one doesn't? Which one do you have to pay for? And whatever the case may be. But we all have to, as business owners or running companies, we have to be able to do more in the amount of time that we have.
Yeah.
You know, because people do still want to spend time with their families, right? It's just a way for everybody to be more efficient and possibly where you can do more work with less people, which is critically important, especially in a time where, you know, agencies continue to get pinched financially.
Absolutely.
How can healthcare organizations effectively communicate the implementation of AI technologies to their staff members and alleviate fears about job security and maintain morale?
I think from my personal perspective as a leader of, I've led physicians, I've led nurses and non-licensed professionals. And I think the biggest thing is, one, really buying in yourself first and sharing that excitement with your team and getting them excited about the opportunity to gain efficiency. And as Michael stated, give them part of their personal life back. You know, let's reduce some of that after hours documentation, or even just the mental burden of wondering, did I do my job well today? Did I document all the things that my agency wants me to do?
You may have to conduct training a little bit different.
The other opportunity I personally have found very successful is validating some of the concerns that you've heard from your team members. You know, we're doing this to help, to truly help you, because a lot of your clinicians are going to have incidental overtime or share that they're stressed because they're working too long on the weekends or after hours.
You know, the other thing with technology is, you know, when you look at your population or you look at your staffing, you know, you're going to have ages all over the place, right? And we do know we're entering into, we have an aging workforce. We're all aging. I just do Botox, so you can't really tell. But you know, one of the fears that we've heard, and I'd like for you to address it, is how do you roll out training when maybe you have such broad ranges of age class?
So from what you're sharing with your question is that, you know, this is a very diverse, from a generational perspective, workforce, very diverse. If we were to look back historically, probably one of the most diverse at this current state from a technology perspective, especially. I am an elder millennial, a geriatric millennial, as some have called it. Elder makes me sound a little bit more wise, but you know, there's Gen X, and there are still some baby boomers that are out in the workforce doing excellent patient care delivery, yet the technology, they didn't grow up with it. And so something that we have to keep in mind is not assuming things with our, you know, even elder millennials and so forth, you know, with the aging population out in our workforce demographic, but, you know, asking them, like, what are your fears? Asking what specific support that they may need. Surprisingly, when I have worked with clinicians through implementation, oddly enough, our older generation nurses actually buy in much quicker. And the theory that I have on this is that they were used to handwritten documentation. They're not huge fans of EMRs. Not that any of us really are like loving it, but they even more so want to go back to paper. So if you're giving them the opportunity to not have to type, because a lot of individuals are not typists. I don't know if you've gotten out there and seen people with the single finger typing. Yeah. That was not something that was taught throughout their education program, throughout their childhood. So these people are really excited to just be able to use their voice and have it pick up their voice, regardless of accent or pace of speech, have it pick it up accurately. In addition to that spelling that you talked about, Michael, you know, you think about regional accents and dialects. Some of those medications and diagnoses, baby, we can get real colorful with how we pronounce those things. And so to have technology pick it up regardless of your accent, that's a win. A lot of our older generation really loves it.
So let's switch gears for a little bit here, Jamie. what specific safeguards or guidelines, if we want to call them guidelines, do you believe should be put in place to ensure that AI used in home health and hospice maintains a centered or human-centered approach to care?
So I think just keeping the patient at the forefront of the focus of each and every patient encounter and any sort of implementation of new technology enhancement. So thinking of the downstream effects of how is this ultimately going to affect our patient and their outcomes. Certainly thinking about our clinicians as well, but what are we trying to achieve here? Let's think of our long-term goals. And, you know, work your way back. A lot of our agencies, you know, they're trying to change the compliance with a lot of the documentation. And ultimately, that documentation is tied to value-based care. It's tied to those patient outcomes. And what we're hearing is that, you know, we're trying to get clinicians to not rely so much on copy and paste. And that's where I think some of the AI concern can happen as well. The idea that AI would be assuming things. We don't want to see that. We don't want it to assume or misinterpret documentation of a clinician and apply its own assumptions. Really, we want the AI to be able to capture, at least with Invoke, capture the thoughts that are voiced by the clinician within the patient interaction, capture it accurately, and perhaps do some structured documentation from that interaction, not necessarily applying new diagnoses or assuming plan of care. That's where we can get into a little bit more of a dangerous environment. Something else to keep in mind is we really want the clinicians to stick to individualized documentation. We don't want to see the same verbiage for every single patient. Every single CHF patient is not going to have the same plan of care or the same outcome expectations. They may have core measure goals or goals that we're trying to achieve for, but that plan is going to look a little bit different depending on their stage of their disease process. Using something like speech recognition, clinicians are more likely to have more descriptors in their speech and paint a greater picture of what exactly they're encountering with the patient.
Do you think that some agencies or some clinicians out in the field, because most of them have an iPad now, do you think they're using that voice recognition, you know, even though that's not HIPAA compliant at all? But I could see saying, okay, why would I go with a company like an Invoke? Okay. Mm-hmm. Where we know that's HIPAA compliant. But do you feel like maybe some are using like the iPad technology, even though that's not safe and secure?
Absolutely. We see it all the time where people are using, you know, the speech recognition that's built into their, let's say, a Samsung or Android device versus their iOS devices. And they may do a pretty good job, but on an accuracy level, when it comes to medical language and medical acronyms, diagnoses, medications, things like that, it's just not going to pick it up accurately. I know even in my civilian language, sometimes my Siri does not pick up my words accurately. But then you also brought up a good point, Michael. It's not HIPAA compliant. So when we're talking about healthcare, security is always being talked about. We are always worried about data breaches, patient privacy. So company like Invoke, we are not only HIPAA compliant, but we take that security, that extra level up, and we are also SOC 2 certified. And all of that information is always available to our clients and prospective clients on our website for them to review.
Yeah, and under SOC 2, you know, what I didn't understand, we're actually going through our SOC 2 certification ourselves.
Okay.
Number one, that's a big commitment for a company because it's not cheap. But number two, you want to talk about when you become SOC 2, the security that all the parameters that you must have in place in order to get the certification is amazing. And so I commend you guys on being SOC 2 certified. That shows, you know, really your guys' dedication to protecting people's privacy.
Absolutely. We're very passionate about keeping that information private.
And I don't know if this is part of what we want to be doing in the podcast, but I think what I want to do is go into like a scenario where I say, okay, hey, Jamie, I'm an agency. Mm-hmm. All right. And agencies get a lot of emails. They get a lot of offers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some of, you know, you're balancing on what technology do I need to bring in? What technology am I not bringing in? And I want to just talk about for the agencies that have brought in speech recognition. What are the benefits? And what if you decide to do nothing? Where does that leave you? Because, you know, it's not a, sometimes to me, people let change, they let the industry make them change versus them being a change agent, right? Sometimes people are left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I really want to do to the listeners saying, listen, you know, you got a decision as you're growing the agency to either let the industry tell you you have to change, and you're behind the ball, or you can be a leader of change. And so for those that have implemented speech recognition, give us some success stories of what's done for the agency. I love technology. And here's, you know, some of the things with technology that, you know, I want the listeners to understand is there's two phases of it. There's an implementation phase,
mm-hmm.
and then there's an operational phase.
Mm-hmm.
And with all technology, EMR or whatever you're doing, you know, I want to make sure that people understand that when you're implementing new technology, technology is going to be as good as you use it. But often, too many times, when they implement new technology, they're not thinking through, once it's through the implementation phase, how do we make it successful in the operational phase? And, you know, no doubt that they're getting emails and phone calls of the next best thing. I want to really hone in on this speech thing, the talk to speech. What are some of the success stories? Because the way I look at it is, you know, either all of us as business owners, and particularly if we're talking about agencies, we can let the market dictate when we change, or we can be change agents. We can be leaders of change. Their growth is amazing versus those that wait. And so if somebody was to implement speech recognition, what are some of the success stories that you've seen and what that's done for companies that have embedded speech recognition into their process?
We have companies that sign on with us of various sizes. Some may only have 10 clinicians, some may have 10,000. And though we may hear similar issues across our clientele, their priorities are different, and they're going to flex throughout, you know, the time period of which they're partnered with us. What we're seeing is, not only are we finding that it's a recruitment tool, you know, using something like, you know, speech recognition, AI, or a lot of these technology advancements, if you miss the boat in this shift of technology within the healthcare space. And I'm not saying miss the boat, because it's going to be there. Technology, it's happening. AI is happening. It's going to stay. But now is a very unique time to really hop on the train, if you will, and hop on the train of this innovation, because your competitors are doing it. And I don't know if you've heard, but it's a really competitive market out there when it comes to nursing recruitment. As a nurse myself, you know, if I wanted to get a job at a home health or a hospital, I could be there tomorrow. it would be right. Very easy, because the need is so significant. And so what makes your agency special, aside from great leadership and a great team to work with? Are you optimizing their ability to have that work-life balance? My goodness, what an excellent tool for them. But then also from the business side, what kind of reporting can you run off of that technology that you've implemented? Is it going to help, you know, optimize your reimbursement? Is it going to help you grow your company by improving your revenue? So those are all things to consider when you're choosing a technology enhancement within your agency. Is perhaps it is, you know, ideally going to solve one issue, but really look at it from a spectrum. Could this potentially have a multifocal solutioning, if you will, to our agencies many issues that we see now or can foresee in the future.
Yeah, you know, when you it's a great point that you bring up, because we have some clients that actually use speech recognition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talk to our reviewers all the time and say, hey, you know, what's the main difference when you see the automation of the dictation or speech recognition to regular charting? And they tell me all the time, we see a better picture of the patient.
Absolutely.
And so it's not, you know, if you really look at the benefits of the speech recognition, especially even what you guys do, it helps with staffing and all that other stuff, but it goes deeper than that, because if you have a team that's mm-hmm. reviewing those charts, they're more productive, right? Mm-hmm. Because now they're not having to send back questions saying, hey, I don't understand this, or, you know, what do you mean by this or whatever? So there's a massive time savings there and an accuracy, right? Mm-hmm. The patient yeah. chart, the integrity of that patient chart mm-hmm. has just increased dramatically. So, you know, when you look at services like this, and I love the way how you put it, you know, it helps with staffing, helps with retention. It definitely allows the field clinicians to be more efficient in what they're doing. But then the back end, there's a lot of benefits to it as well. So you got to be thinking about your review team, or if you're outsourcing that review team, right? And then just the integrity of that patient chart. So there's a lot of other factors that when people or when agencies are looking into this, there's more than just the front end of it. There's across the spectrum, it improves operations.
And when you look at just stats, right, of, mm-hmm. like you've said, you tend to talk using more words, painting a better picture.
Yeah.
It's going to take me a lot less time to speak to you than it is to type or for sure write something. But mm-hmm. typing is not everybody's skill set. So maybe you can give us some stats on what you've seen. But from what I can tell, it's about a 40% time savings. And that's mm-hmm. real minutes.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you nailed it. So, you know, basically what we've observed, and perhaps this will put it into a greater perspective for your listeners. So when you're texting, I don't know if you've noticed, and especially when you're texting with somebody that is, you know, perhaps a younger generation, they shorten words, whether we like it or not. It's the language is shortened, and our texting has shortened. It's very quick and brief. And it leaves a lot to be assumed sometimes when you're communicating that way. That's why we always say, you know, it's probably better if we talk, especially if it's on a complex issue. That is very similar to what we're experiencing with documentation. I just want to get the documentation done because I need to run through an OASIS, or, you know, I'm late to my next patient, whatever may be the motivating factor to be as efficient as possible. That's natural. We're going to find our path of lesser resistance. But if we're using speech recognition that not only is faster, but just as I'm talking to you guys today, if I were to recall a patient that I saw 10 years ago, I would be able to paint you a picture verbally, and you would be, you know, you would feel like you were there. Mm-hmm. But if you read it, one, I'd probably bore you to death. But it you likely would just get a very high level clinical kind of, you know, basic review. Yeah, it'd be very flat. That's a good word for it. So not only are they seeing that, like you said, that 40% time savings, they're saying that with some time stamping reviews that clinicians are saving anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes per visit by doing the documentation with speech recognition. And those minutes really add up quickly. It's incredible. And it's also even that perception using certain things like, okay, for example, if I were to tap into a free text area and just say 110 over 60 to apply a blood pressure, like that's very brief. The perception of the clinician is not having to, let's go to a tablet, having to go from letters to numericals to the different section for the forward slash. You just hit a microphone again. It's there, done. Mm.
I hadn't thought about switching back and forth between keyboards too, because that does take time.
Yes, it sure does.
Some clarity on this for the listeners. So if I was to go out and pick a company that does speech recognition, mm-hmm. does it matter the software I'm on, or is it embedded to where if I'm on, you know, if I'm completing the OASIS and I'm a certain question, is it automatically on the OASIS as I'm speaking through it? Or tell mm-hmm. me a little bit more about that just so I understand.
Yeah. So our current state for Invoke in particular is that we encourage our clinicians to use it within any free text area. So, you know, just if I were to type even in like my Teams text box, that is an example of a free text area or on a Word doc. Same thing within the EMR. A lot of people call it a narrative or perhaps an annotation next to a body system assessment. You know, you're doing your cardiac assessment and you want to highlight some of those abnormalities. You can use speech recognition for that. Where we would like to see ourselves in the near future is applying some of that narrative language that we've implemented within the narrative space, extracting that information and having it complete or partially complete some of the OASIS on behalf of the clinician by using that information. It's not assuming anything. It's pulling out those keywords and applying them into, let's say, the OASIS form or the blood pressure was stated, applying it into the vital sign area, that sort of thing. So that's where technology is really going is, again, that multi-prong or multifaceted approach of efficiency, not just so segmented throughout the documentation experience.
How long does it take to adopt or maybe even for the team members to adapt to such a change? Is it a month, 3 months, 6 months?
So I love that question. One would assume that it's much harder, but actually it's, I don't want to say quite easy because again, everybody's going to be a different type of learner. It's quite fast to do the training. So within Voc, our training is anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes and it's built within the app. And it's a very natural movement. Once they log in, they can hit the training and have it completed and move on about their day, providing patient care. They can use it immediately. Now the optimization, you would be surprised, and this goes across all generations of the workforce that I'm seeing during my trials that I do with prospective clients, is about 1 week, they're a little hesitant. Some of that trust isn't there. So you hear a lot of inappropriate pauses in their speech, or you may hear some words of like, darn it, or, oh, I didn't do it right. You can hear them kind of getting a little frustrated because it is change. It's different. It's an adjustment. And that's just any kind of change.
That's funny.
By the second week, it's so great to see the significant improvement. About week two, week three, maybe for some users, we see them well into the 70 words per minute and higher. And your general, even a person who is a pretty proficient typer, like we were talking before, not a singular typer, but the ones that use both hands and all fingers, are generally going to be typing at 30 to 40 words per minute. So you have somebody that is almost doubled or has doubled and more their word application speed with just a couple of weeks. So when I came on to Invoc, I was really impressed. I was really impressed to see that type of buy-in and engagement. And most of the clinicians, once they get to that second week, they don't take it away. They will kick and scream.
So here comes the hard question. You ready for this one, Jamie?
Okay. I'm ready. I think
this one's tough. I mean, I'm hitting you hard here, but I think it's important. It's important within speech recognition technology. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's no doubt that everybody has competition in the space, but mm-hmm. what is it that if I'm looking to buy speech recognition, what is it that I need to make sure they have? Because, you know, with different companies, you know, there could be companies that do the same thing, but yet maybe they're missing this or missing that. How do I, or what should I be looking for if I'm in pursuit of speech recognition? Mm-hmm. What are the things I need to know? And what do I need to make sure that company has?
Mm-hmm. I think definitely, you know, first identifying what issues are you trying to solve for? That's going to be step number one, because some people are exploring technology because it's interesting. And that's okay too. It is very interesting. But ultimately, if you want to move forward with it, you need to identify what problem are you trying to solve. And then when you're assessing your technology options, you can kind of peel away some of those layers based off of that. But then there's also, like we mentioned before, what type of security do you have within your company? How are you protecting the data that we're inputting into your software? How are you protecting that for us on our behalf? Because that would be, that's a risk. And we don't like risk, but then also, are we solving for a singular issue or are we solving for are we doing that multifocal solutioning? I think that's personally very important. If you're looking at a company that, yes, maybe it's speech recognition, or maybe it's, you know, something to do with the type of equipment that you're using to take, biometrics within the patient home, whatever it is, think about it. Is it solving for one issue or can we apply this to a multi-issued thing? Because you want to get the most for your money. I think that's the biggest thing in healthcare is that we're all strapped when it comes to the reimbursement. We're trying to maximize and stretch every dollar that we have. So let's make get the most bang for your buck and see what those technologies can, how they can serve you, not just in one area. Let's see if we can broaden that a little bit.
Yep. So my philosophy on technology is one that, you know, the thing that we all have in common is we all have the same amount of time. Mm. And so the challenge becomes, how can we complete more in the same amount of time as maybe our competition down the street or whatever the case is. That's how we need to be thinking about it. And the deal is that people that do embrace technology, they are going to be leaps and bounds above those that do not. And I will tell you, adoption of technology needs to happen sooner than later, because you could be left behind. And when I look at speech recognition, you know, everyone is familiar with it because they got an iPhone or Android and, you know, everything else. But this is an area that can significantly change the direction of an agency. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage, you know, the listeners to take time, you know, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, don't be afraid to have the conversation. Because if you don't, the question is, would you miss? And you didn't know you missed it. And if you would have took the 5 or 10 minutes, would you be in a different spot than you're in today? And this part of the technology, this piece of the technology, to me is a game changer. You know, it doesn't matter to us who you use. We like Invoke, of course, but you got to get there. You really got to get there. Mm-hmm. So take the time to talk with companies that have innovative solutions, because you just don't know. It may be the perfect fit, something you've always been looking for that you didn't know you were looking for, right? And then number two, just do your research. I think that's important. And I just don't want people to miss out on something great just because they were like me and they were closed-minded to it and just didn't want to be bothered by it. It's worth your 10 minutes. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I was thinking about AI, and when you and I were at NOC and you were sitting there and you were showing me the technology, and I mean, I was really just awestruck. And I've said this to even some of our clients, like, I don't know why everybody's not using it, because not only is it talk to text, which that in itself is amazing. I know, even from an adoption standpoint, like, once I found that little microphone button on my phone, I didn't take any time to adopt that. Right. I used it all the time. So from an adoption standpoint, I think it's super easy. But you guys also have the templates built in to make sure that not only am I getting this in the right section, but it's going to track whether or not I've hit high points that I'm supposed to, right? And that's a part of the AI technology.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really where we're talking about that multifocal approach to solutioning is, yes, you have the speech mm-hmm. recognition. That's super cool. It's really nice. That's step one. That's the first step on the flight of stairs and the future of a lot of technology enhancement. Then you have things like we call them shortcuts, but then you get into the double checking. We call it note assist. And like you're describing, that check mark, like, did I meet all of the agency requirements, my particular agency, for this type of note? Did I meet that? And then being able to, on the back end, audit thousands of charts in the matter of minutes and get an analysis to say, hey guys, leader team, this is where we need to focus our attention and coaching our team so that we can meet these quality goals that we have collectively. But then you got to also think, going back to your question earlier too, Michael, this kind of all ties together. When you're trying to look at your technology company, just because I have that little microphone on my phone and that's super cool, what would the future look like? And so because we're not just limited to speech recognition, there's a bright future with our company here at Invoke, mm-hmm. where that AI is just going to continue to build and get better and make things more efficient and optimize and solution in partnership with our existing clients too, because we're hearing directly from them and we aim to serve them and make things better.
The last thing I want you to mention is maybe for those that would like more information on Invoke, we're going to attach mm-hmm. a document, something that kind of explains what Invoke is. Maybe for those that are reluctant to you know, reach out or want to know information, we're going to make it very easy for you. We're going to attach some information. It's going to be specifically to Invoke because they were our special guest today. But you're going to learn a little bit more about speech recognition, and if that draws you to want to go further in that, you know, please don't hesitate to do it. But
so that wraps up our enlightening session on AI and home health care and hospice with Jamie. And we just really want to thank Jamie from Invoke for sharing such valuable information and really practical advice for agencies and what they have at their fingertips. Your expertise has certainly shed light on how we can harness the power of AI while also maintaining human touch. That's crucial in our field. And we'll also add their website so you can reach out there. We really hope this conversation has provided you with useful information and perhaps even sparked some ideas for your own organization. Remember, the future of healthcare is about finding the right balance between innovative technology and compassionate human care. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a review and share it with your colleagues. Join us next time as we continue to uncover the latest trends and best practices in home health, palliative, and hospice care.